This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zada Jewelers, KFNC, and 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And off we go on the last show before the game.
Wait. Is today Friday?
Is today Friday? Yes.
Oh.
What is wrong with you? You didn't know that?
No. I swear to God, I've been up here so late all these days. I really thought today was Thursday.
No. Today is...
Oh, man, what a blessing. It's like finding a $20 bill in your coat pocket.
Friday? You found Friday in your coat pocket. Yeah.
You found Friday.
I was wondering why you're looking at Dell like, hey... What is he saying? What?
And when you walk out of your office and somebody's just brought food to the station, they're like, hey, what a great day this is. I haven't had that feeling for a long time, though, to be honest. So,
anyway, this is our last show before. We're going to have Five Star on. Five Star will join us.
Yeah, he should join us.
We've got Glenn Davis is going to join us. Glenn Davis came out last night and explained his dismissal by the Dynamo. He'll talk about it with us this morning.
I was up here late last night, and Glenn is at Soccer Matters is on, now that I think about it, on Thursday nights. It's on twice a week, I think. And we talked a little bit. It's going to be an interesting conversation with Glenn.
Yes, it will be. And it's a shame. That dude has given a bunch of his life to that organization, to that league, and here we are.
You know what I respect about him? We'll get to the Rockets. Pathetic performance.
That was terrible.
Here in a second, but Glenn just like keeps it real. He's honest, and I really appreciate honesty. But one of the things you'll find is that people who employ other people don't typically like honesty if it has to do with their product.
That's right. I mean, part of it is yes, he was. He has too high a standards toward that honesty thing. Listen, Mark Vandermeer, Craig Ackerman,
Matt Thomas,
all of them, they can't be completely honest. They can't. You can't. You gotta be the team, and you gotta have a positivity. I would imagine it was awfully difficult with the Dynamo and the way that the organization has gone for you to be as now. The Texans have had all of those teams. The Astros have had their moments. The Rockets have had their moments. 3 year stretches. All three of them had 3 year stretches where they were just miserable. But you still got to have that face of positivity. And Glenn just, I ain't doing that. Okay, I'm going to tell it like it is. And you know, and that might have been what cost him his job. So we will talk to him about that at 8 o'clock this morning here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. This fourth quarter stuff that's going on with this Rockets basketball team, holy crap. It's really, really, really bad. It is, there is something that they, I don't know. You talked about it. You don't want an older team. They're dependent on older guys now. They're dependent on older guys to get through this thing. And, you know, I don't know if it's the age or whatever it is, but the fourth quarter seems to be a hellhole for this team.
I don't know why. I wonder if it's mental. I don't know. I just don't think age has anything to do with Reed Shepard's not playing well. You're not shooting well in general, and Reed is he's not even a starter. But KD shot poorly. Look, it's not a great matchup for certain Rockets against Oklahoma City, and you're playing the premier team in the league. But you're sitting there down two in the third quarter, and before you know it, you lose by 20. I mean, in your fourth quarter stink. You're not, once again, a pathetic shooting performance, less than 30% from the three-point line again. This went from being one of the most, and this just shows, I mean, the reality is, it feels like that was the outlier. They were the most efficient three-point shooting team in the league, and we thought, man, that's pretty good. It's the same guys as last year, only you substituted Dylan and Fred VanVleet for you know, for and Jalen Green, I guess all three of them. You didn't substitute Fred, but Fred's out. But you had more Reed Shepard, less Fred VanVleet, obviously. But then you had KD for Dylan and Jalen Green. So, that makes sense. You know, some volume three-point shooters. This guy's a better three-point shooter. But now it's really gone the other way, and you're no longer an efficient three-point shooting team.
Well, and they're a great rebounding team, and they kill them on the boards. But then they got 17 assists and 14 turnovers. Mm-hmm. That's awful. This is all about they got to get a point guard that can actually run the offense. When J.D. Davison or Aaron Holiday or Reed Shepard or it just is – you got. I mean, the loss of Fred, when it happened, it's bigger than we thought. It really is bigger than we thought.
It might be. It might be. There was – in the beginning, it definitely didn't feel like it, but – you know, maybe through these times that get bumpy, maybe Fred's a stabilizer. I don't know. You would think – I have a hard time believing that Fred VanVleet, when you have Alperen Şengün and Kevin Durant, you should be able to stabilize. Those are two all-star caliber players. You should not be dependent upon a squatty point guard who's a high-volume, lower-efficiency make three-pointer. That shouldn't be, but from a basketball standpoint. But, you know, maybe it's a mentality thing. Maybe it's more about the intangibles Fred brings to the court in terms of settling guys down, leadership. Maybe some of that is missing because we know KD is not a leader. He'll tell you, I don't want to be a leader. That's gross.
Alpi was asked last night about where do you want the ball? At the top of the key? Do you want it down low? He said, I want it at the elbow, and I couldn't get it there. I couldn't get it. That's where Fred comes in, getting guys the ball where they want it, where they need it. Okay, when you don't have a point guard, you don't have that ability. Alperen can't get to a spot and dribble to the spot that he wants to get to. He's got to be fed the ball there, and they just can't do it.
Well, Oak City does. I mean, and to add on to what you say, you know, Oak City knows where he wants it,
and
that's why they are denying him. And so the only way to get it there is you either counter their denial or you find ways and angles to get it there, which takes more skilled passing. Like Robert Horry was always known as a great interior passer. And then for years, the Rockets had crappy passers. It is a skill to make precise passes with angles and stuff like that. That is a skill. It's not easy to do. And so maybe Fred makes better passes. But Oklahoma City knows what you want to do. They're going to take that away from you, Alpi. We know where you want the ball. We've got all of the charts on you. We've got everything. We know where you want it. And then, you know, maybe Fred would do that. I don't think they're Fred VanVleet away from playing well. I think this is a major, I don't know what it is. Ime will just tell you they're soft, they're weak. You know, he'll just attack their, he'll attack their manhood and aggression. There's something else at play. I mean, they're just bricking. They just can't shoot right now. I mean, it's just a bad shooting team.
Yeah.
Right now, at least. And this has been going on. Like, this has been a bumpy January for them.
No, it's this playing every now they got two in a row. They're playing every other. There's no break in this. This is awful. This schedule is awful. They gave them so much time at the beginning of the season,
and they're going on a
2 month run of playing every other day. It's awful. This schedule is awful. And you know,
23-15 now, dude. 8 over .500.
Yeah,
you're not even like you're not. You're barely better than. Did they fall that far? I don't even look at the standings now.
Yeah, they're a play-in team.
They're six.
Yeah, I told you that the other day.
They're not playing. They're six.
Oh, they're six. They're up to six now? Because
half game ahead of Phoenix.
They won a game? Yeah, they won a game the other night. So
Phoenix has lost two in a row.
Yeah.
So they're a half game ahead
They were a play-in team 2 nights ago. before their win. The other night, they were a play-in team, and now they're the sixth seed. And listen, it'll get better, and I'm telling you, the schedule is going to get better in March and April. So it is going to get better. This is like the Texans run that they went at the way they started, and you're like, oh, crap. This team is going to be better.
Except this team started well.
Yeah, it really started well, but now it's caught up to them. And listen, they're only 3.5 games out of second place. So,
but do you really want to make the schedule? I don't want to let them off the hook. Like, it's the schedule every other night. They're not the oldest team in the league. Their core players are still pretty young. They're still young guys. I don't know. I think it's a lot more. I don't think it's schedule so much as I just think they're playing bad basketball. I don't think they have any confidence in their shooting, and I'm starting to think it's mental in the fourth quarter for some of those guys.
It could well be.
Man, what a bunch of red L's going on, really, frankly, since December 5th or 6th. Yeah. It's been a ton of red L's since then. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 losses since that time frame, and you got 2, 4, 6, 8. They're 8-10 since January. They're 8-10 since December 6th.
Yeah, but no, it's bad. It's not good. Not good. We got that, and you know who's really good is the Dodgers. Holy crap!
I love
that they picked up Kyle Tucker.
You know, what I like is that the Dodgers do a great job of developing talent. They recognize they have a very keen eye for free agent talent. They do a smart job of recognizing who the best players are. They bring them in. They use a lot of analytics to unearth advantages that other teams can't find on players.
No.
And then that's how they find these diamonds in the rough, like Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani and Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
Is other people are like, I don't know if they're worth it. And the Dodgers say, you know what? We ran some numbers, and we think they're good.
Watching Jim Bowden talk about the Dodgers picking him up, and he was like, well, you know, it's not just spending money. Look at the Mets. They just spend money. Look
Shut
how bad
up,
they
Jim.
Are.
Shut up, you stupid ass. Shut up, you dummy.
So he goes on to say,
"What? It's not funny, Dell. They're ruining baseball." He's laughing like it's a funny joke. They're ruining our
you
sport.
Yelling at Jim Bowden like he can hear you, being very aggressive to Jim Bowden. Did the Dodgers?
It's not just money.
Did they break? Did last night break everyone?
I think it did.
You know, I knew it
there's
was
a
me.
Thought that that signing is going to bring a floor and a cap.
So it broke me. I went as soon as I found out about it. I MF'd everything, and I broke down. I was so mad driving home from the HEB. Then I put on Glory Boys text string, which is our text string. I told you what I thought. Then I said, I can't be the only one that this pisses off. And I went to Twitter and just looked in trending Dodgers. Or no, baseball was trending. I said, baseball is trending. That's a very general term. Clicked on that. Whew. It definitely, I was not the only. As a matter of fact, this is the prevailing notion
now is
congratulations, baseball. You've jumped a shark.
No. Bowden was saying, he's like, yeah, but the Dodgers do it too. They get Shohei Ohtani, and they go to Japan, and they market him, and they make all this money, and they make it profitable for. And see, they're just smarter than everybody else. No, who can't? Okay,
they market
Shohei Ohtani.
Who would have ever thought of that?
Who could possibly?
Who
could
have thought of that, Jim?
Yeah.
I would have never thought about marketing the most marketable player.
Well, apparently
who would have
Angels,
thought? And maybe Jordan should get his own shoes.
Maybe apparently the Angels didn't do that. So,
you can call the Angels stupid.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we don't really pay attention to the Angels. They've had Mike Trout. They ruined Albert Pujols. They've had Mike Trout. They had Shohei Ohtani. Nobody puts a dirty, wet blanket over great players more than the Angels.
Yeah.
Nobody.
One of their players died because Kyle Tucker now highest AAV present money in all of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
Now that feels very
57 million.
John, that feels very NFL quarterbacky. He does not feel like he should be getting the top AAV.
No. And wait till they see him in the playoffs. Wait till they see him in the playoffs. They're really good.
But it doesn't really matter. They've got so much talent.
Yeah,
that it Kyle Tucker's just going to help them win more regular season games. That's all.
Well, and they need that. They need that. That's something that I was worried about the Dodgers this offseason, not getting anything done. And now look. Thank God. Thank God. Okay, we got a nice show. 713-780. We're going to talk a lot of Texans here. Matter of fact, I want to, when we come back, Gronk and Edelman have a podcast together. Or he was, I don't know, Gronk was on Edelman's podcast, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
The two of them broke down the keys of the game for the Patriots and see if you agree or disagree. Right now, though, we're talking about Billy Brown and Aqueduct Plumbing Company. It's going to be, you don't know when a freeze is coming. You don't know. Okay. It has come. It's broken pipes. It's broken families. It has broken houses. It is a BIA. So is your house ready? And if your house isn't ready, let Billy ready it with pipes that can, listen, repiping isn't as, you did it. You had to do your whole backyard. It's a big job, but you'd think, oh, repiping the house. It's actually pretty dead doable, right?
Yeah, it's doable. Not by you. You can't do it.
No.
See, you would dig forever.
I would just rip them out and then I don't know.
They get a crew out there. I've had it done. So what happens, they get a crew out there. They tunnel underneath your house.
Yeah.
And they don't tear stuff up in the interior. They tunnel underneath your house. It's hard work. It's laborious. But when it's done, it is something that is going to last you, and that's just it. And if you have galvanized steel pipes, those things are going to corrode. They're going to leak. You're going to have problems. When that happens, call Aqueduct Plumbing Company. They can come repipe it for you. They're throwing in a free water heater if you like, and why wouldn't you take one unless you have a brand new one? They'll throw in the free standard water heater for you. And don't forget to have that thing serviced every year, just like your tankless water heater. But they get the repiping job done quickly, effectively, and at a reasonable price. They are the company you can trust for all of your plumbing needs. It's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
Shut up, Jim.
Shut up, you stupid ass. Shut up, you dummy.
You didn't need to do it that fast.
ESPN 97.5. It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. This is a show, baby. We want you in here. Keys to the game. What are your keys? I'm going to tell you what my key to this game before we get to Gronk and Edelman. And Dan, is that we got a caller on the line. We will get to him. My key is, listen, it's the greatest defense in the league. They're smothering, swarm, the energy, everything else. You cannot let Drake May beat you with his legs. Whenever they lost, the Baker runs, right? The Bo Nix. You cannot let him escape. You have to. Toa Toa, who was not good at times at doing this, he's the one that let Baker get by and get that big first down that he ran. You cannot let Drake May escape the pocket.
And you know, he's played 17 games. He only averages about 25 yards per game of rushing, but that's not bad. I mean, that can be enough. That can be enough. He's got long runs this year of 28 and last year of 41. So he has 38 rushing. Wow. He has 38 rushing first downs. That's a lot. Seems like a lot, doesn't it?
38 rushing first downs?
That's over two a game.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them could be quarterback sneaks, but every first down means a chain was moved as a rusher. So you want to, he had 22 last year. He has 38 this year, rushing first downs.
Well, here's the deal. Okay, let's get Dan in here, and then I want to hear Gronk, and we'll hear from Gronk and Edelman about the keys to the game. And I disagree wholeheartedly with what they're saying. Dan, what do you want to talk about?
Hey, good morning, fellas. I would like to say, the Dodgers, good luck. I want to see how that $60 million tastes in the postseason, but. And I think the Rockets, I think their ball movement is, that's what I saw last night. But I wanted to talk about that. And I want to preface this with the fact that I thought CJ was a field goal kicker away from being the number one pick in the draft, right? Because he's a national championship, all that stuff. But after 3 years, I mean, is he – and we know that as long as D'Amico's going to be here, we're going to have a perennially good defense, right? That seems to be a given. So that means we're going to be in championship contending mode if we have a defense similar to this every year. And I think that means that, like, we have to look at our team long-term, like, are we going to be willing to tie up $50 million or more in a quarterback that's going to take away from our defense unless he is the man? And so I wonder, and I posed the question to Lance the other day, but he's probably too busy with all this draft stuff to respond. But is CJ, is he in that Jalen Green box now this postseason?
It doesn't matter.
Make it or break it. Like,
it doesn't matter. They're not trading him. This is the existential crisis. It doesn't matter. In football, it doesn't matter. Nobody gets traded because Jalen Green, you say, man, well, first of all, Jalen Green, they didn't get a discount on him. They got a fair contract on him. But then you can move off of those because you just go to the next, you know, explosive score. He's not good enough. Let's get somebody else who's different than him. It doesn't happen in football. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't exist. Where you say, I just don't want – let's just trade him for a bunch of first-round picks. We just don't want to pay the second contract. I'll just let y'all tell me who that is because I haven't seen it in pro football history since we went into the current salary structure. Don't know who it is. Haven't seen it. So there's all this talk about, is CJ earning his money? It doesn't matter. That's the point, people. Average quarterbacking is the worst thing that can happen to a team because you have to pay him like elite quarterbacks. And CJ Stroud, especially with his agent, David Mulgeta, this is why we obsess and stress over his performance. For those of you who are like, you guys, you don't like CJ, you hate the Texans. It's not true. We worry, probably unnaturally, since it's not a question that's going to have to be answered for 2 years. Because now, well, that's not true. This is the year where you can start giving a player an extension. One school of thought would be, the earlier you give an extension, the more money you save, because like with everything, the only thing that happens is the price of poker goes up. That's it. But the concern that I have, and the concern that you have, John, and really the concern I'm noticing that pretty much a huge percentage of Houston has, is that the worry is, well, what are we going to do if you're paying him like, you know, the top quarterbacks in the league and he's not very good? Yeah. Exactly. What happens to your defensive? Does Bullock, can you afford to retain Bullock, Lassiter? Can you afford to retain that entire secondary? Can you afford to retain, and that's the good thing right now. I don't know that you don't care about the wide receivers. You already got Nico done. Your offensive line, I don't know. There's no one I guess that's what you could say is you make the secondary a priority. You know, you have to get them done. But what it does is it necessitates a reliance upon rookie contracts and smaller one-year contracts to sustain you. But it doesn't matter because in the history of pro football since the newest collective bargaining agreement, average quarterbacks don't get moved for draft picks where teams start all over, not unless they've drafted a quarterback behind the player. That's the only time that happens. And I don't see the Texans doing that this year, do you?
No. Listen, you don't have to answer.
He's not playing himself out of money. Question, he's not playing himself out of money. It's not possible.
No, the CJ question doesn't have to be answered though. You can make this a Dak situation. I mean, it's actually pretty similar. We're not sure. Cowboys weren't sure. So you know what they did? They just hold it off, and we'll find out. And then if we want to, at the end of the day, we will give him that money.
Does that concern you at all about CJ's relationship with the team? You know, because Jerry, that became contentious. It's a thing on ESPN's First Take every day. It's the only topic they talk about. David Mulgeta is the agent. And I say that because he was Deshaun Watson's agent as well. And David kind of thrives with holdouts and threatening to leave situations. Like, it's what he does. I mean, he's a leverage-based agent. And I am a little worried that I'm with you. That's the way you play this, is you go, we're going 5 years. We're going to pick up your fifth-year option this year, and we're going to make you play your fifth-year contract, which is going to be a big raise for him, the fifth year, and then we're going to franchise you after that, and then we may franchise you after that.
Yep.
That's how I would play it.
Instead of giving him six at, 360 or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, no.
280 guaranteed.
Yeah, right. No, we ain't doing that.
Hey, you made a good point on the I looked this stat up. Quarterbacks with first downs, and when you talk about keeping them from running, it's to keep them from moving the chains. Josh Allen leads the NFL this year with 46 first downs. Then Jalen Hurts, 40. Trevor Lawrence, 40. And then Dart and May. This is pretty impressive for Dart since he didn't start the whole year. But Dart and May are next with 38 first downs.
Mm-hmm.
So Drake May, one of the top five quarterbacks, tied for top four in running for first downs. Some of those will be, you know, maybe quarterback sneaks or whatever. For Josh Allen, you'll have some direct snaps. For Drake May, a lot of those are going to be scrambles.
Yeah. No. Listen, him escaping, we don't have time now because we're up against it. I swear to God, when we come back, we'll hear from Gronk and Edelman, and I think it's the exact opposite of what they say. They know a little football, these two.
They do.
However, I don't think they know the Texans. Let's talk right now about GiveMeTheVIN.com. He knows. John Clay Wolf knows cars. He knows cars better than anyone, okay? There literally is no one in this country that knows more about buying cars. It is so funny. I'm sure that they got a screen on his Saturday show that says, oh, here's, you know, this guy wants to talk about this. And then they put up, this is what, you know, a 2021 F-150 is worth. Okay. I'm sure they got some of that. I'm sure. John Clay Wolf, however, dude knows specifics. He is incredible on making sure that he knows everything about the car industry and gets you the best price. He ain't scared to give you more than the other guys are going to give you. He's just not, because that's his business plan. We talked about this. Dude just says, I'm going to make less every single time I sell it at auction because I can. I'm going to do volume. I'm going to buy more cars than anybody, and he does. He's on all over the country now. He started with us here, and he's at the longest-running show on our air. GiveMeTheVIN.com is where you sell your car. If you're going to sell your car, you have to go one place. GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, last year's last year. But, you know, the Texans went to New England and they just kicked their ass. It was 41-21. But Drake May had three touchdown passes. One was a short one to Hunter Henry. He had DeMario Douglas 35 yards, and he had Kayshon Boutte. He hit him for 40 yards. Actually, and if you watch the Texans, what's the way to beat the Texans? With long passes, right? I mean,
That's the only way you can do it.
That's it.
One on one. You're good.
They're going to destroy you if you try to have a drive. At some point, they will shut you down if you're going to try to just matriculate down the field. Right?
Mm-hmm.
At some point, somebody's going to get their head taken off, or you're going to get a sack. You're going to get even a false start.
At some point, somebody's going to get their wig split. It's just too, yeah, you can't.
It's too hard.
You have to hit them big.
That's the way that you, and a scramble for 15 to 20 yards after everybody is covered, and he breaks out up the middle because the pass rush is incredible. That's the way that you're going to beat the Texans. Here are Gronk and Edelman and what they think the keys to the game are.
What are the keys to the game for the Patriots?
Patience, because you're going to have to take what the defense is going to give you. This is going to be a game, the short first and second down, Julian. They got to just get a couple chunk yardages at a time. It's not like they're going to have big plays, 20-yard throws down the field. That's not going to happen. They got to be patient and just take what's given to them. Little dump off to the running back, you know, that flares out because everyone's covered down the field. Get 3 yards at a time. Like you said, make it very manageable on third down so these defensive ends cannot tee off. off.
My keys to the game are pretty similar. You know, you say patience, I say discipline. You got to play disciplined football. You got to be able to kick the ball after every offensive drive. That means taking care of the football. You have to understand that your defense is pretty good too against an offense that's not very good. If they take care of the football, I think they stack up better against that defense, because you know the Patriots defense is going to give Houston some trouble. Disciplined on offense, kicking the ball after every offensive possession, whether it's a punt, playing field position game, or whether it's a field goal. We can't have any interceptions, no fumbles. Drake May cannot have the game he had last week.
These stupid sound effects are pissing me.
I don't know. What the hell is that?
It's just, it was a video, obviously, and they edited in a stupid.
What is that?
I don't know. It's dumb. After this Dodger stuff, everything pisses me off. So,
Jim Bowden knows the game, okay?
Whatever. Shut up, you stupid ass. Shut up, you dummy. I wish you wouldn't have saved that, because it'll never leave now. What was I going to say? I agree with to an extent.
Yeah, you cleaned that up good, Del.
I know where Gronk was going. Gronk's just making the basic stay ahead of the chain so you don't get in manageable. That's all he was saying. But Julian Edelman's, it makes more sense about being disciplined.
Yeah.
Julian's made some sense. But what Gronk should have said is, you know, dump off some running backs. I agree with all that stuff. That's great. Running the ball, staying in third, manageable.
Except what happens when you try to, run the ball, you're going to get a wow. Oh, here comes Al-Shaair, or here comes Rankins, and a 2-yard loss, tackle for loss. You swing it out to the back, and guess what?
I think
Petrie blows up the play.
Maybe, but I think if you're in zone, yes. If you catch him in man, then Travion Henderson could end up hitting a really big explosive. So I think you may play a lot more zone, actually. I think you may be in a lot of zone. It doesn't make sense not to. I mean, you want to keep Travion Henderson in front of you as much as possible. Keep their eyes forward, especially, against Drake May, like you talked about. The way he got that long run in the playoffs in the last game is because you're in man coverage and you lose sight of, your pocket breaks down and he's got a chance to run. Yep. And their cornerback, I think it was Greg Newsome, lost sight of the, he just lost sight of the play development. But they may play a lot more zone here to make sure that Travion doesn't get an explosive out of the backfield. But I know what you're saying. Like, we both know, you have to take shots at those 20 yards, at those chunk plays, 20 plus. You have to, because you're not going to have sustained drives. And I think they could end up having some success running the football, potentially, with Thunder and Lightning, Stevenson and Travion Henderson. But you don't, like, your best chance is to hit a 35-yard, over route that you catch it 17 yards down the field, and then you run for another 18.
Yep.
I mean, that's your best chance to get the field.
So the Texans didn't have to blitz against Aaron Rodgers. They did a couple of times early, and then they just said, no, we're just bringing four, and that was plenty. I think they're going to have to blitz a couple more times this game. I do. I think they're going to have to bring it, because if Drake May does have any time, he's got Steph Diggs, he's got Butte can go deep. He's got it could be a problem if they don't get to him. So they might have to bring a couple exotics and go after Drake May in this one. I think so. I don't think it's going to be nearly as easy as it was against Rodgers.
No, he's much more, and it's crazy to say that about Drake May versus Aaron Rodgers, but I mean, that's where they are right now.
Yeah.
And Drake May is more of a, he does offer a little bit more mobility, clearly. He has a deep arm, which is something Aaron Rodgers used to have and that's not really part of his game much anymore. Drake May will push the ball down the field. They do push it with them. So you are going to get challenged down the field. Gronk can say what he wants, but I'm quite sure that Josh McDaniel says, hey, there's some plays where receivers get behind, not just Lassiter, they get behind Stingley. I mean, Stingley has been beaten on defense.
Yeah, well, Butte beat Stingley last year.
Yeah, so
that was against Stingley.
You had one, I'm trying to remember the game where I think it was
Stingley was one of the best in the game, and Butte beat him last year.
Yeah, no, Stingley makes his mistakes too in coverage. So you have to take those shots, and they will. Josh McDaniel, 100% Josh McDaniel's not trying to have 15 play drives against the Texans every time down. That's not how you beat them.
No, you can't beat them. Can't beat
you know how many sustained – you know how you have to play on third down to do that against the Texans?
Yeah.
It's just not – that's just – the math doesn't math on that one. You can't do that. So they're going to take their shots, I would expect them to, which is why you may see more zone. Because if you're the Texans and you know that, John, what are you going to do? You want to take away what they want to do.
Yep, that's it. And like you said, you can't – if you're in man, there's a lot more likely that Drake May is going to be able to escape and get some big chunk yards with his legs. Who was the caller, though? Still there?
Yeah, Kyle.
Kyle is here. Wants to get in, talk a little Texans. Hey. What do you say, Kyle?
Hey, how's it going? Long-time listener, first time, blah, blah, blah. I listen to y'all every morning on my drive from Beaumont to Baytown. And the other day we were talking about, y'all were talking about, what team this reminds you of. And I just got a couple of things to say and then I'll get out of your hair. This team reminds me of the 2013 Seahawks. From the secondary to the good deep ball throwing quarterback. I think Woody Marks is the most underrated back in the league. That boy gonna run, and I'm glad we're going on the road. Take this defense on the road in the playoffs. I don't think we're as good at home in the playoffs because the opposing team keeps the stadium quiet when their team's on offense, which means it's fine for our defense. So, you know, whatever they say defensively on the field pre-snap, you know, rank and scoot over or watch 83 or whatever it is, I think we're going to do better on the road in the playoffs. And go blood and blue. Texans for life. I'm out.
You know, that's a pretty good point. Is it is a lot more easier for the defense to communicate than for the offense. And the defense does have to play. The defense has to play at the highest level. Has to.
I don't see Russell Wilson taking snaps. Number seven doesn't feel like Russell Wilson to me. So
not two-thirds. He feels like Russell Wilson
the
13,
now. Yeah, the 13, you got to remember now, they had beast mode. They had Russell Wilson who was playing at a high level.
Like, yeah, but the defense is like that.
That's fine. That's fine, but not the team.
And actually, I saw somebody else call him the Legion of Boom.
Yeah, that's fine. They're really more. Well, so they had Earl Thomas. Kalen Bullitt gives you some
Richard
of that
Sherman.
Single high stuff. Richard Sherman, you have that with probably Stingley. Stingley's more – they played a lot of cover three zone stuff. So the Texans are more talented in coverage. But they had Browning, who was a big 6'4" corner. They had a 6'3" corner specifically for the cover three. The Texans have different types of coverage, different types of corners, but they're both very successful. I would say the Texans are more talented at corner than Seattle was. And then your fourth, your safety. Oh, well, okay, so the Texans are in nickel a lot, so we think of Petrie all the time. And then as the broadcast said the other day, I can't go against broadcast, Jimmy Ward. Because the broadcast listed Jimmy Ward as the Texans starting safety. You didn't see that?
No.
Yeah, the graphic in the game had Jimmy Ward playing strong safety.
Wow.
Yeah.
I missed that part. Well,
everyone missed it this year.
Wow.
Broadcast had, they showed everyone, you know, they showed the, you know, the graphic of where people were on not where people were on the field. They just showed a graphic of, you know, the secondary, and they had Jimmy Ward starting at safety.
Isn't that funny how Jimmy Ward and Joe Mixon just disappeared this year, and there was, without a trace, without a question.
Without a trace. We knew the trace with Jimmy.
Yeah, but
Jimmy, we had traces.
But the thought was he was coming back.
Texas never said that, but I thought that.
Yeah.
Once he was no build or whatever,
but there was a time like where after the incident it was like, oh, he'll never play for the Texans again, and then it was like, wait a minute, no, Jimmy's still part what? He's still part of the plan? Okay. Nah, not really. Not really. Something happened to those two without a trace. Maybe we'll get one of those shows, 48 hours or something.
Well, there's actually, it was a show, actually called Without a Trace.
Mm-hmm. Without a Trace, yeah.
That was the show.
Well, we got to get that show on it, okay? On the Jimmy Ward, Joe Mixon incidents.
I think you're going to have to find a different show. Unsolved Mysteries.
You don't. You know why? Because you don't care about those guys.
No, I do. I just think the people in power are going to make sure these mysteries are never solved.
You just don't care about those players.
The Texans feel very strongly about not wanting you to know what happened with them.
Yeah, they bury stuff.
No one wants you to know. Well, pretty much Joe Mixon ain't going to be back this year, and Joe Mixon comes out with a
He was like, wait a minute.
You don't know.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Don't know.
He's like,
why are you
huh?
saying that? Like,
right.
Dude, where are you then?
Right.
Where are you?
Well, I mean, hey, it ain't any different than the Astros training staff.
What a waste of energy the entire Joe Mixon thing was. From D'Amico's pushback about how we don't care, to even Joe Mixon tweeting out that, hey, you're speaking out of turn. Stop it. What?
Oh, yeah. Speaking out of
what
turn.
A waste of time for
why
everyone
are you
involved.
Trying to gaslight people.
Yeah, like, you're not yeah. playing.
Hey,
you're not playing.
Hey,
stop it.
I wouldn't say that. If I were you, I wouldn't be saying that.
I got to find that
Why?
Tweet.
Why? Because it's a HIPAA violation?
It was like week 15 or whatever it was. He's like, oh, well, who said that? Everyone, Joe.
Everyone
knows.
Everyone on the planet said that.
Maybe he's like Fred Warner. Apparently, Fred Warner, if they advance past the Seahawks, he's going to come back and play.
Well,
maybe
Fred
that's,
is designated for return.
Yeah, maybe that's Joe Mixon's plan. If they make a Super Bowl, I'll be there for it.
He's
playing.
He's designated for the return.
Oh, great. All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776. Glenn Davis, top of the hour, talking about soccer. We'll talk World Cup, but we got to find out. Well, we found out last night, actually, and during his show. But for those of you that missed it, we'll have Imad here to talk about his dismissal from the Houston Dynamo. Right now, though, a little underdog.
Yeah, underdog fantasy is where you can take a look at these playoff games that are coming up, and you can, including college, but certainly the pro playoff games. And our team, Texans versus Patriots, go take a look at whatever the stats are and say, I don't think C.J. Stroud's going to have that many passing yards. Or you say, I think he's going to bounce back and have more passing yards. John Chill yesterday said he thought more passing yards for C.J. So as I click on the NFL and look, let's see some of the numbers here. Well, they got the early numbers. I have to keep going. Drake May, 219 passing yards. I think that goes higher. I think they attacked the Texans through the secondary. So I would go higher on that one. But that's an example of what you do is some other stats just here for Drake May. You got passing touchdowns, 1.5. You got rushing attempts, 7.5. What happens for a quarterback if they get a lead and they end up kneeling on the ball twice? Those are two rushing attempts. They can put you higher. So Just little things to think about. So you're going through the games, you're analyzing, and then you're going higher or lower with the stats that you have offered for all these different players. Find the right player, the right stat, try to exploit it and win big money. Make picks of two players or more, and you can win big money. The more players you add to your play, the higher your payout can be, up to 5,000 times your original play. Download the app and use promo code Lance, and on your first deposit, you're going to be ready to receive $75 in bonus entries once you play your first $5 play. It's Underdog Fantasy, promo code Lance.
Must be 18 plus and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms _DFS_HTML for details. Concern with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number.
Let's get some phone calls. We probably need to jump back on the Rockets for a second. They're 23-15 now. For those who didn't see, they didn't play well, but still had an opportunity in the third quarter. And then just got like a runner who was out of gas. They just got outkicked in the fourth quarter and beaten by 20. 111-91 was the final. It's a team right now that the ball is stickier than it was early in the year. I thought the caller made a good point earlier that he brought up. The ball is a lot stickier. You don't see the same movement. You don't see the same – because the movement used to be crisp, and it used to get to the open man. They're having a harder time getting to the open man. I think they're pressing right now, so you have individuals trying to take more on their shoulders than they should. KD's got to play better than last that he did yesterday. Right now, they really do miss
a guy
to pull them out of the morass.
Well, that's KD. He had a bad night.
Well, but Alfie's an all-star. Alfie can do it, too.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
back. Well, I mean, he's back and healthy.
I'm not sure.
Where are those triple, you know, where's the 28-point triple-double to?
Is he, I don't know that he's 100%. I think he came back. He might have come back a little bit too soon.
No. Maybe. I mean, he's back. I'm assuming he's healthy.
Well.
I mean, you're assuming he's not healthy?
I think there's a chance he came back too soon. Yeah. Because he saw how this team was playing and said, I got to get back. Yeah. I think there's a chance of that. Yeah. Who's on the line? Who you got, Dell?
Nobody.
Oh, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776, the number to call if you want to get in here. Let's get back to the Texans for a second here. Agree or disagree with Nick Caley? Nick Caley had this. He meets the media on Thursdays. The coordinators do. Nick Caley, he's got to defend his guy, obviously, right? Here is Nick Caley talking about CJ taking care of the ball.
Generally speaking, look at the totality of the season. I've been very pleased with how he's handled. I've got a lot of confidence in him. He's taken care of the ball throughout the year and made strides in that area. And he'll continue to. He's very, you know, cares a lot, works hard at those things. And I think you look at the entire totality of the season here, I think he's done a really, really nice job of that. And playing within the system, not trying to press and do anything other than, you know, operating and making plays as they come to him. So confident in him, got a lot of faith in him, and had a good week of practice. We just got to keep that going.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine.
I mean,
I don't have any problem with it.
No. He had how many fumbles has he had this year? I don't know. He was a 19-8 guy this year, which is okay. He was 20-12 last year. That's not good. 23-5 is
honestly 19-8 is not okay. It's not even 3-1.
Yeah,
I mean,
23-5 is rookie year.
Yeah,
I mean, he has regressed mightily since then. 20-12 last year.
That's better than 4-1. You're not even 3-1 this year. That's not 19-8 is 19-8 or 18-9. No, 19-8. 19-8 is not okay. It's not okay. You need to be better than 3-1.
Yeah.
I mean, you said as a rookie, he was over 4-1.
Yeah.
What was he last year?
20-12.
Ugh. Yikes. Gross.
Yeah. Yeah, not great. I mean, I don't know about this whole taking care of the ball. Well, he's at 19 this year. He's let his fewest passing yards. Well, he played in only 14 games, so his fewest passing yards with 3,000. His fewest touchdowns. They just didn't get the ball in the end zone.
He had three games he didn't play, but
yeah. Yeah. He played in every game last year and was 20-12. That you're right, that is gross. CJ is going to play better this week. He's going to play better than he did last week.
If you say so.
CJ is not going to be the reason the Texans don't win.
If you say so.
Yeah, I say so. That's right.
You told me there's a lot more meat on that bone offensively. I'm waiting for them to pull some off.
So who would or what would be the reason, considering we expect the defense to play really well?
Well,
they
don't play really well.
So that's the only way they lose, if they don't play well?
Yes, defensively? They have to play smothering. They have to be
They
phenomenal.
Just don't blow it. You know what? We're already setting the defense up. Defense might lose this game for us.
Well, they have to play great.
It's so fun. Their standards are so high.
Yeah.
It's our standards now are so high for them that if they're not elite,
what's
we
a bad
can't
performance
win,
for them?
Giving up
a
more
bad
than
performance
more than
is giving
13?
Up 21. No,
okay. If they give up 21 points, that's a bad performance.
Yeah.
The league-wide touchdown interception ratio for starters across the league, including Dookie starters, is 2.6-1. It's 2.56-1. 2.6-1. That CJ.
That's CJ.
That's about CJ, I would think.
That's CJ. He's an average quarterback.
18. Let's see. He's 19.
19-8 is 2. Yeah. 2.3.
He's actually below.
Yeah, 2.4.
He's actually below the NFL average.
Yeah.
But did you see that throw he made under pressure?
Yeah,
that's,
did you see
that's
it?
The response when you start to get into some of the things. Yeah, but look what he that throw. How can you say he's just
you
an average
stat,
quarterback?
You stat geeks don't. Y'all need to watch the game.
You don't know ball.
You don't know ball. Okay.
Just watch him. I have been watching him for two seasons now, actually. Yeah.
No, it really needs to be closer. It really does need to be over 3.1. You want it closer to 4.1. What is the touchdown? I'll find it.
While you're looking up stuff, we got to go because Glenn
Davis is up
next.
Glenn Davis is joining us on the other side right here. So we'll get the Inside Skinny with Glenn Davis next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 97.5. Time to talk about Dream Rate Mortgage. My man, Kent Jones. Love Kent Jones. Love what he does for our listeners. I mean, honestly, I have gotten emails from people that have, and he tells me, he goes, oh, this the Jim and Tom, they're listeners, and they called, and I saved them. I mean, there's it's story after story after story. I saved them 10,000 here, I saved them 15, 20. It is remarkable how much money dude is saving our listeners, okay? Even if it's just you just want to know when to lock in, you want to know, hey, when is the best time? What? Tell me. I mean, he's incredible. He can handle every single thing that you need, from the title to the realtor to when to lock in to the type of the mortgage that you're going to need. He asks you questions about, you know, where have you been in the service? Are you a first-time buyer? All of these things that you don't have any idea where you can save money, he's got all the hacks. He's got all the hacks. He knows everything. When you're doing it for 30 years, then you know the game. And it's most brokers cost you money. In other industries, brokers cost you money. Not in the mortgage game. This one saves you money. Call Kent. If you're even thinking about buying a home, 713-520-5626, 713-520-5626, or 975loans.com.
Dream Rate Mortgage, LLC, NMLS number 2482473, Jenkins Jones, NMLS number 356118, Equal Housing Lender.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.